did call me. He asked me how courageous I am, and I said, I'm a pretty courageous guy. And then he started by saying, you know, Pastor, Dad won't be there this Sunday. I said, I'm not that courageous. I took it under a caveat, which is a condition, and that is that I disrupt the routine. I have 2 decades as a teacher behind me, and if there's one thing I've learned, is that somebody standing up front lecturing to you, blah, 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 that is pretty much the least effective way to learn. So, I need to get you out of your comfort zone. And that means I ask you to come closer. Get up from the sides. Dave, thank you. Get up and come closer to me. Sit up here. You can leave your other stuff here, bring the Bible. But let's see if we can sit as a group, because I'm here to help us learn from each other. That means all of us, brothers and sisters. I've chosen to look this morning at Psalm 26. It's that long book in the Old Testament. And I wish we could sing this, because I understand it's great poetry in the original language. I've heard it sung in Israel. It really is gorgeous. But you can't do that. Allow me to read the whole psalm. It's not that long, you know. And there's a key verse in here that I want to focus on. This is from the King James Version. Psalm 26, Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will come past thy altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And here is the key verse and the key line. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of pride. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregation, but I bless the Lord. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Say what comes to your mind when you hear this.
I'm not being in church and following the word.
Happy.
Brothers and sisters.
Are we closer to God here? No, we're not. So why do we come?
We're closer to one another in that, and I would say in that sharing, the Spirit's working among us. And I would say maybe we are closer to God from that, because God is in every one of us that's with them.
So this is not some holy place.
It's not the place, it's the people.
Yes.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
Captain burn brass when they're in the group.
Isn't that true? Do you like coming here?
Yes.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Do you like coming here? I really enjoy coming here. You know, we're very blessed in this country. We get to shop around. To find a church and a group and a congregation that we enjoy and that we're comfortable with. I know I'm making some of you uncomfortable, so be it. But we're here because we like being here. It's not like that everywhere else, including the free world. You know, in Iceland, during the Viking days, the pagan days, they raided England and they brought back Celtic slaves. The thing is, those Celts were Christians already. So the Christian faith spread among the Icelandic population out of the slaves. And you know, they have the oldest working parliamentary democracy in the world. They used to meet in a thing called Alting. Pretty much everybody, it's not a big country, you know, showed up in June, and they met and they settled all disputes and, you know, took care of business, a few days, done. Well, there came an Alting where half the population was roughly pagan and the other half Christian. And it looked like it would come to blows. Civil war is a bloody business. And in truly Icelandic fashion, they're very proud of this, you know. They made an interesting decision and they took an interesting path. They picked one guy, a respected guy, an older guy, a pagan. And they said, you decide. Whatever you decide, we'll do it. So this guy goes into his tent, he sleeps on it, maybe he prays, we don't know. Comes out the next morning, and he says, all right, I've decided we're all going to be Christians. There's more to the story, but it actually worked. War was averted, everybody became Christian. But the thing is, just like most of Europe, you don't have much choice there. There is one church, bingo. And if you don't like that, if you're not comfortable there, if you don't like the preacher, if you don't like the congregation, and the rest of Europe is much like that. Are you going to be happy? I mean, Europe is still divided along the Peace of Westphalia among Protestants and Catholics. And those are the choices. That's bingo. Good luck finding an evangelical church in most of Europe. I know, because my wife and I, we did it. We managed it, but it was difficult. In Italy, wow. Met in a garage. In Greece, everybody told us, there is no such thing, the Orthodox Church is it. Not so much. We found them and they met in a business hall. Never mind. So here we are blessed. We're happy to be here. And the psalmist, David, he was happy to be there, to worship, wasn't he? What does he say? What does David say? Well, there's some notes, you know. We'll look at them because I'm a bit old. To come here, come to the sanctuary is an evidence of piety. Can be no true religion where the soul does not find pleasure in the worship of God. If you don't have happiness to worship God, why are we here? What's the point? Don't bother. Stay home. We don't all have to love each other. Some people are not to our liking, but God is among us. And when we meet, it says that somewhere in the Bible. Dave, help me out. Somewhere where two or more, or three or more meet, there is a church. Is that correct?
Good enough.
Somewhere it says that. I'm not knowledgeable in the Bible, even though I should be. I'm a pastor's son. Unlike the two wonderful young men that we prayed for earlier at 15, anything in mind but getting to know God better or read the scripture. I'm must get ready to run away from home. I leave everything behind, my country. And I had all kinds of things I wanted to get into. And I did. God save me. A person who does not delight in such a service is not prepared for heaven.
Fair enough.
We're reading the scripture and we're asking ourselves, what does this mean? I'm going to try to tie this back, by the way, to something we heard last Sunday. And I'm curious what you all think about that. Now, keep in mind that the tabernacle that the psalm talks about is not the temple. It hadn't been built yet. And we don't know how old David was. Maybe he was close to the end of his life. Maybe not. But the tabernacle that we have today is Christ's human nature. And that's the true tabernacle. And that's where we're worshiping now. David here speaks of himself as a type of Christ, doesn't he? He makes himself sound pretty good, doesn't he? And why shouldn't he? He says that he has spotless innocence. And he took joy to honor God publicly. But David also asks and begs and requests that his desires be searched and proved by the Lord. Does he not? Verse 1, judge me. Verse 2, examine me. Is that why we're here? Is that why you're here?
Absolutely.
I took the trouble to read another version of the Bible. It's my father's Bible. And it's translated by a Dr. Martin Luther. Now, the Old Testament wasn't just his work. It took a little longer and had some help. But he translates a little bit differently. In verse 2, he says, or in verse 1, he says, make righteousness for me because I am innocent. Really? David thinks he's innocent. Why is he asking to be examined? And here comes the centerpiece. He says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of the house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You love this place? I don't mean this place, these nice walls, you know. I like that too. But I like this place, and I love the place where God's honor dwells. Quite another thing, isn't it? He begs again later. He says, don't lay my soul to waste. Wow. Smart stuff. Redeem me and be merciful. But I walk in innocence. My foot walks right. Now, the Lord's house is loved by his people because of his word and ordinances which are ministered here. That's why we like this place. Not just the company, it's not just the coffee. Well, it's not just the vegetables. We don't own sacred buildings. Some churches do, and they feel that God dwells there. They even have a little lamp, right? It's actually not where we're at. So much. I personally have problems with that concept, you know. We really delight in the assemblies. We come together as the Lord's people to honor the preacher, but to give glory to God is the important thing. We really like Pastor Dan, and you know, have a full reflection of him. But I'm here to listen to what he has to say about God. Here's a little anecdote that I picked up in one of the commentaries. It says, I have in my congregation, said a venerable minister of the gospel, a worthy aged woman who has for many years been so deaf as not to distinguish the loudest sound, and yet she's always one of the first in the meeting. And asking the reason of her constant attendance, as it was impossible for her to hear my voice, she answered, though I cannot hear you, I come to God's house because I love it.
Love it.
I look forward to driving here, you know? It's a bit of a hike from the other side of the valley, but I look forward to doing it every Sunday. And what we found in his ways, and he gives me many a sweet thought upon the text when it is pointed out to me. Well, another reason is because there I am in the best company. Yeah, the best company. You are the best company. I don't sit in the assemblies of the wicked. I'm not satisfied with serving God in private, although we should. It is my duty and privilege to come here. What does this have to do with Paul? Well, Paul, in the letter to Timothy, talked about what a righteous guy he is, didn't he? He knew he was at the end. He knew he was going to get killed. And he said, I'm sure I will be in the right place real soon, didn't he? Did he say that? He said that, something like that. Here the psalmist desires to have his innermost soul searched and proved by the Lord. He is aware of the deceitfulness of his own heart. He desires to detect and mortify every sin. He longs to be satisfied of his being a true believer. Paul doesn't make those requests. Why? How is that different? What do you think? But what's different between the time and the place and the person of the psalmist and Paul, who had confidence his ticket was punched? What do you think?
Christ.
Yes. That's certainly something that happened, right?
Didn't he see where he was going?
He sure did. Didn't David? So why did he constantly say, examine me, test me, prove me. I'm walking the right path, but, you know, what's different here? Back to you, Christ. What made that difference? And I have a problem with that thing that Paul said that I'm sure, you know, because I unfortunately see it in churches. People think, ticket is punched. I'm admitted. I'm saved. And you look at their lives and what? What do you see? Worse. Entitlement. Righteousness. But what's different? What do you think is different?
Well, I think, as was mentioned, Paul is on the other side of the cross.
Good.
David is looking forward to that. It hasn't been realized. The Holy Spirit has not been given. Paul is confident that that God has changed him. And he took it much to him. But he was confident in what Christ had done in his life. David looking forward to it.
Well, where are we? Which side are we on?
Oh. Yeah. Are we on the other side of the cross?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that we can get that ticket. That we have to live up to it. One way is to come here. One way to show who we are, what we are, is to come here with joy. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I really enjoy about coming here is the way people sing. Not me, mind you. I mean, I'm just mumbling. More of a distraction. But when I first came, I thought, wow, look at this. They don't have the big old amplifiers or the overheads and none of that nonsense that I despise, by the way. And they sing real well. They know how to sing with enthusiasm. What a blessing. What else can we say about this verse, about this song? I delight in your tabernacle. I like coming here. I enjoy it. I love it. Is it a duty? Do you think it's a duty to come here? Do you feel obligated to come here?
I feel lacking if I don't.
Okay, that's different though, isn't it?
Yes.
You come of your own volition. Not because it's a custom. Some people go to church because it's a custom.
They go to church. Oh, okay, I guess I'll go. I've gone all my life.
I spoke to my sister-in-law, very personal matter, and she told me, she was raised as a Catholic girl, she said, I still say my prayers every night, like a good Catholic girl. And I thought to myself, well, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But I was there to speak to my brother, her husband of 20, 30 years, I don't remember how long they were married. And I asked her, what about Klaus, my brother? Does he pray? And you know, the answer was really, really disturbing. You know what she said to me? I don't know. How can you not know that? You have a habit, a good habit, right? Praying before you go to sleep. Lord, my soul, the key. It's good stuff. I don't care what you say. But if you're married to someone, shouldn't you know? Maybe pray with that person? Wow. Oh, are we here just to go through the motions? You know, show up here and sing a bit? Sit around, be social? Or do we mean it? Do we love it? Because guess what? If we love it, we'll be loved back. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? That's how it is. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot more to say. Anybody care to speak out?
So what hit me in this when you read it? It's always good just to read scripture like that.
Yeah.
You know. First verse, I have walked in my integrity.
Yes.
11th verse, I shall walk in my integrity. He repeats that.
Yes.
What's important.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's saying, I'm perfect.
No.
But he has a single-minded purpose here. He loves to be in God's house.
Yes.
He wants to please God. So it really kind of hit me there that was the one thing that was repeated. I'm single-minded on you.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting how David points out
that yes, he's a righteous man, he's an innocent man, but he's there because he wants to be judged for that. Yeah, please.
Well, I have a question. It would matter to me at what point in David's life he wrote this poem, whether it was before or after his great sin?
I don't know. Do you know?
I don't.
I looked at the commentaries and it didn't say. It's a very good question. Yeah, because like everybody else, he's a sinner. He knows it. And yet he's asking to be sincerely judged. That does include his sin. And that applies to all of us. Yeah.
I feel it is a privilege that we're able to come to church and go to a church of our choice. Where so many other countries, they do not have that privilege. So I'm also very thankful that the Lord has granted that to us.
So true. And it's not just in this country where you have this big palette of choices. In most of the Americas now, Latin America as well, you can, quote unquote, shop around and find all kinds of churches, Protestant varieties of all kinds. And as I said, in Europe, not so much. I don't know what it's like now in Russia and China. I assume that in China you have actually quite a choice. But, you know.
But do we really have a choice? How many people are here because they've chosen to kill them? How many people are here because the Lord has brought us here? I don't see that as a choice so much. Not that I'm complaining, don't misunderstand me. But I think the Lord brings his people together as he wants them in order to do the work he has for them. Our work may be just encouraging one another, sharpening iron with one another. It may be a word to somebody who needs a word of encouragement. He brings us to these places, I think. I think God is active in our lives, not just redeeming us. He's not just redeemed us and, okay, you're saved, your ticket is punched, have a nice life. He doesn't do that. He's active in our lives. And I think you see David here. He's moving under that influence of the Holy Spirit, even then, you know, without Christ, pre-Christ. And he's doing what God has called him to do. As I read this, the question is, when was this? Before or after Bathsheba? I think you can make an argument both ways, or you can make an argument it's right in the middle of Bathsheba. That would be a harder argument. But, you know, it was David's life in Christ, life in God walking, that he's talking about. I don't hang out with these wicked men, these dissemblers, these New American Standard, pretenders. Pretenders are a good word. We got a lot of pretenders in the world. They pretend to be in Christ. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, are you a pretender? Are you the real deal? And that's a good question to ask. So,
yeah,
I'm kind of wandering. I apologize for that.
No, please. There are no apologies. Yes.
Well, one thing is that before David was ever king or anything like it says, I have chosen the man of my own according to my heart. And God saw the whole life of David and what he would do and the whole thing. He didn't just see, you know, the sin part, but he saw the whole overall picture from beginning to end. And before he ever chose him, you know, that story where his brothers came and all the different guys. And they said, no, that's not the one. And finally he says, well, don't you have another son? He said, oh, yeah, he's out there with the animals. And so then he, Donald will bring him in. And the God says, that's the one. And everybody in his whole family says, him? You know? And so God sees things differently than we do.
Yeah, and sometimes the greater sinners that are the greater men. Let's not forget Paul, right? Yeah. What an evil man he was.
Is forgiven much less much.
That's right. And sometimes the stronger among us are the ones that were the weakest. Yes.
Well, I just, David said it's good to read, you know, all of it. And you said when you read, like, this is the line that's important. I love the habitation of your house. But then it says, you know, and the place where your glory dwells. And we recently as a family did have the opportunity to shop around for churches. And it was interesting to talk to people who seemed to love the habitation of God's house, so to speak, but weren't there necessarily because that is where God's glory dwells. They went for lots of other reasons and they were happy to be there, but it wasn't about God.
But the opportunity to shop around is remarkable. I'll be real honest with you. Close to my house in California, right on the corner, there is a Pentecostal church that my wife enjoys going to. A big church, lots of people, very wonderful people. I know the pastor and whatnot. She pretty much picked it because it's walking distance, but you know, it turns out to be a very genuine church. And I'll be real honest with you, after 20 minutes there, I have a headache. It's not that I despise them or dislike them or I think they're insincere, not at all. It's just that I don't abide the noise and the drumming and the amplifiers and the whole thing. It's not me. And I think God brings us to a place that is for us. Because we're different. We're different kinds of people and we like different. Well, I'm going to sum this up. Thank you for the time. Yes, go ahead.
Well, in Germany, for instance, if you went to a church like this, you would be despised by the general population because you're part of a sect.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all churches except for the established Protestant or Catholic church are considered sects, which is a derogatory term, and they're not, you know, accepted as sort of rational people, am I correct? When I went to Germany to talk to my brother, I actually actively sought out an evangelical church and I couldn't find one. There was a Protestant pastor, of course, and I reached out to him, never got an answer. Just exactly what is his job? I'm critical of my father's church, which is I thank the Lord for these minutes and the sincere comments from people. I think that we can all learn to love you more. I look forward to coming here, closer to your presence, my Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak. Amen.
Thank you, Bradley.